Hungry yet?
Not for gruel.
Not for gruel, that's right. So that was the movie Oliver, 1968. It was based on, actually, the play that was based on Dickens' Oliver Twist. Great classic that we all had to read in school. So imagine eating that gruel every day. What's gruel? Gruel is... It's oatmeal, it's some kind of meal like oatmeal, but it's thinned out like soupy. It's not thick, it's thinned out, it's very soupy, and this is what these kids were eating each and every day. It was sort of like the children of Israel, and they had to eat manna each and every day. Problem is, the difference is that the Bible tells us that it tasted like basically what the taster wanted it, liked the best. And they said it tasted like fine pastries. So it wasn't quite like gruel, but it was something that they had to eat every day. And I'm sure because of the complaining and the grumbling and the kvetching, as I talked about last week, of the children of Israel, after a while they complained about it, even though it tasted like something exactly like they would love to eat. And so it's 11 o'clock, 11:10. It's going to be a little while before we eat something, even if it's just bagels. But so you got to hold on a little bit this morning. Last week we had a special kiddush, as we do every once in a while. We had a special Italian kiddush, and people brought Italian food, and I think everybody enjoyed it. But just 6 weeks ago, we had Yom Kippur, and we had no kiddush, and we fasted. And we had that afternoon after the Yom Kippur service that we do every year, feasting on the word, play on words. We did it because we want people, number one, to get a little bit more on Yom Kippur and to learn a little bit more from the word and from the Lord. Also have an opportunity to hear some different people present classes and workshop, and we had that hour of music, and then we had an hour of prayer, intercessory prayer. And so we do this every year, the feasting on the feasting on the word. Also it saves us from having to go home and maybe turning on the TV, because, you know, it's one of Murphy's laws: if you're fasting or you're dieting and you happen to put the TV on, it's like every commercial is a food commercial. And so you can't avoid it no matter what. But it's one of Murphy's laws, and that's what happens there. And so most people were here. We had a lot of people that stayed, and it was a great time that we had together as family. Here's a little secret for some of you that have been coming maybe for the last few years. Some years back, not too many years ago, but some years ago, we used to have potluck every Shabbat, after every Shabbat for Kiddush. And people would bring food every week. Well, some people would bring food every week, and some people wouldn't. And although we would like everyone to bring, not enough people brought sometimes. But here's the thing. The reason we decided not to do it anymore was because we realized we were running a restaurant here where we had people, the women in the kitchen or people in the kitchen, they would spend a couple of hours after Kiddush cleaning pots and pans and dishes, and it took them a long time in the kitchen. As it is now, they spent, even though we have just bagels and beverages, they spent a lot of time cleaning up in the kitchen. Well, you can imagine when people are bringing all these dishes and all this food, how long that they would be in the kitchen. And also, I have to say, we would always ask for more volunteers in the kitchen, and a lot of times people wouldn't volunteer anyway. So we just decided to pare it down, scale it down, and have bagels and cream cheese and spreads and have beverages here. And that's what we've been doing for a bunch of years now. At that time, I had a few people tell me, they said, that person so-and-so, and they would come, or they used to come, or whatever. And they would tell me they came because they liked the food after services, and that's why they came. I mean, I can't imagine this is why they decided to come here and not go somewhere else, because we had food available and other places didn't have available or whatever. But this is what they said. They said that people came because they liked the food. And so they never... Of course, those people that would come because they liked the food, I don't think they ever brought food, but they just loved to eat the food. The food, glorious food, they love to eat it. And so the truth is, you know, sometimes some things never change. And I say that because we know that there were crowds of people that followed Yeshua 2,000 years ago, and I would say most of them followed him because they saw him for who he was. They realized that he was in fact the Messiah, the Mashiach, and so they followed him. And so we all know the story about the 5,000 loaves and fishes. But I want to key in on just a few verses here. Let's go to John, Yochanan 6, and verse 8, 9, and 10 as we open the message this morning. One of Yeshua's disciples, Andrew, Shimon Kephas' brother, said to him, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many?" And then Yeshua said, make the people sit down, because there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Yeshua took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples. And the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So out of those loaves and fishes, when they started handing the food out to 5,000 people, there was enough loaves and fishes to feed everyone. It was similar to, you know, last week in my message, I talked about the miracle of the manna, and actually I talked about in Kings about the pots of oil, that from one vessel of oil, the widow had enough to pay her creditors, because the one vessel of oil became as many empty vessels filled up as she could gather from the neighborhood. And so it's similar. But this was a great miracle, certainly, a great miracle. And so now let's look at verse 14 of John 6. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Yeshua did, and they said, this is truly the prophet who is to come into the world. And so they had seen the sign. The sign. They had seen the sign. That's what Yohanan, John, says. Not only that, but there were leftovers from the 5,000 being fed. We're going to go a verse down just to 13. Therefore, they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. So if you can imagine, not only was there enough, the miracle of feeding 5,000, but there was an abundance here because there were leftovers. But here's the thing. Did they really get what was going on here, all of them? It says they saw the sign, but did they really get and understand what Yeshua was doing and what was really happening there? Because on the next day, something, it's recorded, the crowd realized that Yeshua was gone, and so they went looking for him. So the question is, were they looking for Yeshua to do more miracles? Were they looking for Yeshua to confess their faith in him? Were they looking for Yeshua to learn more about the kingdom? Well, Yeshua knew exactly why some of them were there, why the crowd was looking for him. And we read about that, John 6:28. Therefore, they gathered, and Yeshua answered them and said, most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. They came because of the food. Can you imagine that? Now I don't feel so bad that they came just for the food here. They followed Yeshua because they were going to get fed a meal, free meal, maybe. So now we realize there's really nothing wrong with asking God to feed us and asking God to give us even a physical food. Give us this daily, our daily bread, Yeshua prayed, and he showed the disciples, and in showing them how to pray, that was part of the prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with asking God for things in the physical world that we, you know, things that we need. There's nothing wrong with it. There was nothing wrong. But here was the setup. Let's go to verse 32 and 33 of John. This is the sort of what I call the setup here. When Yeshua said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, But my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And so that's what he was doing when he did this great miracle. He was showing them, first of all, he was taking care of two points here. Number one, he says, I'm the prophet that's greater than Moses that's to come. And number two, that he is the bread that gives eternal life, not just the bread that we eat one day and then we're hungry the next day. And so he was sort of taking care of those two points. Miracles have no lasting value unless they point us to Yeshua. And I'm not just talking about what happened 2,000 years ago. Miracles have no value unless they point us to Yeshua. Let's say no lasting value. Here we are today, and it's not just miracles. It's not just miracles that do this. Here, so an example here, you may pray for a friend or a family member for a miraculous healing, and God may do this great miracle, but what is he really doing? He's extending their life. Why? Because if they are a person that doesn't really know him and doesn't really know Yeshua, he's extending their life to give them an opportunity to come to that point in their life where they repent of their sins and accept Yeshua and the blood atonement. And so healing, if healing is just for the healing and extending your life, and then you die in your sins, what's the great miracle? You've just extended your miserable life in the world. So miracles need to have lasting value. They need to lead us to Messiah Yeshua. Does God do that with every miracle? I believe he does. But sometimes just people say no, or they don't acknowledge it, or they're so into their own little world that they think it's all about them. And God healed me and did a great thing. But God's heart is, and we know that, is that he would want every man to come to know him as their Father in heaven, to know Yeshua as his Son and as our Messiah for the atonement of our sins. And so, you know, even we know, and how do we explain this sometimes where God has control of everything? And even when there are things that happen bad in the world, we know that God, maybe we can say, well, it was the enemy and it was the devil and it was bad people and it was people that were used by the enemy who hates Jewish people and hates Israel, and when we see all these things happen. And so we look at the synagogue tragedy in Pittsburgh, so we say, did God allow it to happen? You know, we have to say God could have stopped it at the door, yet he allowed it to happen. Now, some people would be turned off right there. What kind of a loving God is it? But God will allow even bad things to happen, just as he allows the good miracles to happen. And I believe he allows the bad things to happen in the hopes that men would come to know Yeshua. And so, just as we sang today, Israel, come and worship Messiah, look upon him whom we have pierced. We want Israel to know who Messiah is. God, this was a tragedy. It was a tragedy of evil men. But in somehow we don't know and we can't understand it. God allowed it to happen. But I believe that his only wish is that something good would happen out of it. And that somehow these people would turn to him. And not just turn to him where they open the siddur and they start reading their as fast as they can. And they really don't know what it says. And they really don't know God. And they don't have a relationship with God. I'm talking about really know God. Not just to say I believe in God, but to know God. Because there's a difference. To believe in God and to know God. And so miracles, and then I add on even tragedies. They're almost put into a category of being useless or having no lasting value if they don't lead to the people accepting Yeshua and to then one day experience eternal life. God has, you know, as people of this world, all of us, God has put a hunger in our spirit. He gives us a hunger for physical food. But there's a spiritual hunger within our spirit. Some people don't acknowledge it. Some people try to fill it with the foods of the world, whatever those foods may be. They don't have to be food like pizza and hot dogs and hamburgers, but they can be the foods of the world, the things of the world, the hobbies of the world, the joyful things of the world. They try to fill that hunger to know God with the things of the world. But God has put this hunger in us that we would know him. Not just believe in him, but know him. And his Ruach has that mission, as Dr. Dean said. His Ruach has the mission to fill our hunger with the knowledge and understanding of who God is. And if we truly know God, then we will know his Son. If we truly know who God is. And so to point our spirit to God. So we're dealing here, as I say so often, a physical and a spiritual, and they're parallel and they're similar, but they can be worlds apart. But they all, as one has characteristics, the other has characteristics. And so as we have our physical hunger and needs and trying to fill it, God gives us a physical hunger, and he through his spirit, wants to fill us. And how do we do that? Well, one of the great ways really that happens is not only does he point us in the right direction, but then we have that physical, we have that spiritual bread that gives everlasting life, as Yeshua said, that feeds us. And it doesn't just feed us for one day, but it feeds us for eternity and gives us everlasting life. The world today is really looking for fast food, not everlasting bread. And that's our world is a, we want it now. We don't want to wait. We want everything instantly. We want it now. Give it to us now. We don't want to wait. We don't want to be patient. Give it to us now. And so that's why fast food is great, because you can drive up at the window, order your food, and there's your food. Boom. But the everlasting bread may be a little harder to attain because we have to change on the inside. But once we do that, even though it takes a little time in our lives to do things, it's everlasting. And that's really the greatest thing that man could ever have, is that everlasting bread. And we see from the scriptures, it's food, glorious food for the soul. and it is everlasting, but it's only found through Messiah Yeshua. We, no matter as hard as we try, it can only found through Messiah Yeshua. And so on this special Shabbat that people came, I know that people came, there were things on Facebook that in the synagogues were urging people, the traditional synagogues, urging people to come to synagogue this week. Why? To make a statement. To make a statement that you tried to kill us, we won. But as we always say, they tried to kill us, we won, let's eat, right? It's always the, right during the holidays. Well, you know what? They tried to kill us, we won, we're here, we're coming every week, we're coming to Shabbat, we have a relationship with God, and we have this wonderful opportunity every week to eat of the living, everlasting, living bread, Messiah Yeshua. Amen and amen. We thank you, Lord. You have lowered yourself, humbled yourself, however you want to say it. You have come down. You have bared your holy arm. You have come in the flesh so that we would have this wonderful opportunity to meet you face to face, so that we would be able to see firsthand the miracles that you can do for your people and for the nations. And so we thank you, Father. We thank you for your word this morning. We thank you, and may we remember, and may we remember with every bite we take of food, physical food, may it be brought to mind the wonderful, powerful, and beautiful eternal food that we have an opportunity to eat each and every day. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah.